This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas as we get you ready for Week 16 Sunday in the NFL. We'll also take an early look at what is coming up here in the second round of the college football playoff after the first round concluded here on Saturday. But let's start in the NFL. We had two games here on Saturday. We'll recap those coming up here in a few minutes. But here is where we sit for Week 16 Sunday as we run down the current lines in the market here at Circa. The Buffalo Bills will take on the Cleveland Browns, and the Bills are 10.5-point favorites with a total of 41.5. This is the one game here on Sunday that could feature some weather implications. It is going to be cold, of course. Could be some snow showers. We're seeing winds upwards of 15 to 17 miles per hour. So you wonder how that affects the offenses in this game. Is it going to be more of a rushing attack, certainly, for both of these offenses? And we know what both these offenses are capable of doing, running the football, certainly. So we'll talk about more player props as we progress throughout this program. The New York Jets are at the New Orleans Saints, and New Orleans up to a 6.5-point favorite here at Circa with a total of 40.5. And over the past 2 weeks, I mean, Tyler Shuck has shown that he's looked good for New Orleans at quarterback, maybe giving them something to think about. Maybe they don't need to go out there and draft a quarterback with an early draft pick, as he has shown some abilities here with a lack of talent around him, certainly. And there will be more lack of talent around him here in this game coming up. They're already without Alvin Kamara. Also, their running back Devin Neal is out for this game. And one of their wide receivers, Devon Vele, who they traded for a couple of weeks ago, he is out as well. So very limited options here for Tyler Shuck. Brady Cook, meanwhile, will get another start here for the New York Jets. The Minnesota Vikings are at the New York Giants. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorites over the Giants, total of 43. J.J. McCarthy certainly has looked better over the past couple of weeks. And we'll see how the Giants and Jackson Dart play out the strings here, as they currently are in possession of the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And that is a pick that they will most certainly trade out of. I saw some people online talking about how they should trade Jackson Dart and draft a quarterback, whether it's Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore of Oregon. No, you drafted Jackson Dart. He's your guy. You got Malik Nabers coming back from injury. You got Cam Scadaboo coming back from injury. You drafted Abdul Carter last year, talented pass rusher. You're going to bring in a new head coach, maybe a new general manager. And what this organization needs is an offensive lineman, a big offensive tackle to protect your franchise quarterback. That's what this team needs. In fact, if there was a draft bet to be made right now, it would be Giants to draft an offensive tackle. And you know what's crazy about that? Is that, let's say, and these lines aren't out yet, but I don't even know if there's a book that even offers something like this yet. But if you do, if the Giants hold the number one overall pick, think about the plus money you're going to get on them to draft an offensive tackle. Because everyone's just going to assume that it's going to be, oh, well, you draft a you draft a quarterback, right? Like, clearly, you draft a quarterback. So I think the Giants would trade out of it, but that's a conversation for a different day. The New England Patriots are at the Baltimore Ravens. This is actually your Sunday night game, but rotation-wise, for those of you betting rotation-wise, it's actually 115-116 because of the flex scheduling and things like that. That's what happens here later in the year with the rotation numbers versus the time of the games here. But you have New England at Baltimore coming up in a few minutes. We're actually going to talk more about this game as Bo Smolka, who covers the Ravens for PressBox, will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Baltimore is a favorite here over the New England Patriots. So Baltimore up to a 3.5-point favorite over the Pats. So you have a team here in the in the New England Patriots that is certainly playing for a top spot here in the conference. They are 11-3 right now. If the season ended today, they are the 2 seed. We know that certainly that is not what the case is going to be because of their loss to the Buffalo Bills. things could get very interesting here over the next couple of weeks. But 11-3 New England is the 3.5-point dog here coming up on Sunday Night Football. Again, we'll get more into that game coming up in a few minutes. Tampa Bay is at Carolina, the first of two matchups in the final 3 weeks here between these NFC South foes that will determine who wins the NFC South. And it's very important that we look at the market rating here, where Tampa is a 3-point road favorite. It tells you a lot about what the market thinks about both of these teams and their chances of winning the division. Obviously, Tampa favored to win both of these games. Kansas City playing their first game in years in the regular season where they have been eliminated from postseason contention. It's been a long time since they've played a game like this. They're without Patrick Mahomes. His season is over. Gardner Minshew is now the quarterback. The Chiefs are 2.5-point road favorites at Tennessee. There's so much uncertainty with this Kansas City Chiefs team. I honestly have concerns. I have big concerns. I haven't heard a lot of this. I think it was actually, might have been Sean Green or Ryan of the Sports Gambling Podcast who tweeted something about this last week. But on the latest edition, or earlier this week, on an edition of the Kelce podcast, you know, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce do that podcast together. When Travis Kelce was talking about the Mahomes injury, every time he referred to the Chiefs, he said the Chiefs. He didn't say we or us. He said things like, well, hopefully he's back week one for the Chiefs. Or if he's back week one of the regular season, the Chiefs will be fine. Or, oh, this is a big blow for the Chiefs. Now, could this just be his media training and, oh, he's trying to be objective because he wants a future in the media, like, eventually? Or is this him acknowledging that he is retiring at the end of this season? And so next year, Mahomes coming back from injury is, yes, the Chiefs. That is something that is very intriguing. And honestly, I don't know what to make of it. And maybe there's some outside noise and maybe there's some distraction going on. It's going to be very, very intriguing to follow this and to follow the Chiefs over the next couple of weeks. Could this be a game where it's the dream crusher scenario? Their season is over. They're out of the playoffs. Their franchise quarterback is done for the season. Do they lose to the Tennessee Titans on the road? The Chargers are at the Dallas Cowboys. We've seen some movement here on the spread. Dallas was a 2.5-point favorite. Now Dallas down to a 1.5-point favorite. And I think the movement here is because of the Eagles winning on Saturday eliminated the Cowboys from postseason contention. And so now the idea that I guess the bettors are saying and the market is telling us is that the Cowboys, with nothing to play for, you wonder if the injury report all of a sudden gets a little bit larger. You wonder if some players that were questionable or that are banged up are maybe not going to play or not going to play, you know, because there's nothing to play for now. You know, when the Cowboys are still in postseason contention, even as rare as it might be, when they're still alive to make the playoffs and you've got banged up players, CeeDee Lamb's going out there limping, he's hurt, they're going to play. But with the season being over now, I think it's easy to see these players then not play in the games unless they're chasing like the contract incentives and whatnot. And believe me, we'll get to the contract incentives and all that stuff. But cornerback Deron Bland was placed on IR, so he is done. And Quinnen Williams, the big defensive tackle that they acquired in a trade from the Jets, a big reason why the Cowboys defense has played better, especially up front against the run over the past several weeks, he is questionable for this game, was in concussion protocol all week. Again, you wonder if, with the Cowboys now being eliminated from postseason contention, if he decides to give it a go here or doesn't play. So the line has moved. Now Dallas a 1.5-point favorite over the Chargers. Atlanta is at Arizona. Falcons are a 3-point favorite with a total of 48. Jacksonville at Denver. The Broncos were a 3-point favorite, now up to 3.5-point favorites over the Jacksonville Jaguars. You just love fading the warm weather team going into Denver. Cold temperatures here this time of the year. Tough road spot here for Jacksonville to play in. Pittsburgh is at Detroit. Indoors on the fast track there. Detroit a 7-point favorite with a total of 52. No TJ Watt once again for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Raiders will head to Houston to take on the Texans. The Texans a 14-point favorite over Kenny Pickett and the Raiders. This Texans defense has been one of the best, if not the best, units in the entire NFL. And you just wonder what this Raiders offense is going to be able to do with all the turnover that they've had. Obviously, changing offensive coordinators, changing quarterbacks. The running game is non-existent. Tough spot for them to be in. And then finally, Cincinnati is at Miami, where Quinn Ewers will get the start at quarterback for the Dolphins in place of Tua. The Bengals, a 4-point favorite with a total of 48.5. We'll recap all the action here from Saturday in the NFL, talk more about these games, talk about the props. Yes, I'm going to tell you something about these contract incentives as well. And then coming up in the bottom of the hour, we'll get more of a preview on the Baltimore Ravens taking on the New England Patriots, as we will be joined by Bo Smolka, who covers the Ravens for PressBox. He'll join us in about 20 minutes or so. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. This is Cashin' Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashin' Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now, there are some of you that might be listening to this program at different hours of the night. And so if you are listening at a portion of the night where games have concluded, I want to apologize and give you a, you know, heads up here of things that I'm going to talk about. Because as we are doing this program, we do have two games that are in progress right now and spread drama in both of those games. So first, college football playoff, first round, the final game of the first round, James Madison against Oregon. Oregon was winning this game, dominating this game against James Madison, 34-3. They were up 48-13. Then James Madison comes back. They are up 48-26. And with 4 minutes to go, Oregon has just kicked a field goal to go up 51-26. Now, why is that important? Well, the back door was open here for James Madison to cover the spread, and I guess it still is open. They did close at 20.5-point dogs, but the line was 21.5. Some people might have gotten a 22, or depending on when you played it in the market. So James Madison scored, went for a 2-point conversion, did not get it. So they were down 22. Now they're down 25, and let's see what happens here over the final 4 minutes. Meanwhile, bigger story in the NFL, the Bears and Packers. Bears were trailing. Jordan Love leaves the game for the Packers with a concussion. Malik Willis comes in. Packers look great. Packers take a 16-6 lead over the Bears. They're up 16-6. The Bears kick a field goal with under 2 minutes remaining in the game to make it 16-9. The Bears then recovered the onside kick. The Bears recovered the onside kick and score a touchdown and kick the extra point to tie the game. And we are headed into overtime, tied at 16. I tweeted out, you guys can always follow me on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Follow us all on the network at VSIN Live. This was never a discussion. I know I saw some people on social media. Do they go for two in the win? Never a discussion. First off, at home, it's always you play for the tie at home, you play for the win on the road. But also, the reason why you play for, you go for two versus kicking the extra point, a lot of the times doesn't have to do with, you know, oh, do you think you can get the 2-point conversion or not? It's has to do with what you, where you are in the game And do you have the advantage in overtime? With the Packers defense being gassed right now, having been on the field for back-to-back possessions, the edge is in the Bears. Offense has the edge over the Packers defense. So yes, if you are the Bears, you want to go into overtime because you have the edge over the Packers in overtime. Also, just look at the standings. Because the Packers already have a tie on their record at 9-4-1, if this game ends in a tie, it's better for the Bears. Because the Packers will be 9-4-2. The Bears at 10-4-1 will stay ahead of them in the standings. And it just gets more difficult for the Packers to, you know, because it's one less win that they can get here. It's the tie actually helps the Bears. 10-4-1, they stay in first place. And then you look at what has to happen for the rest of the season here. Well, if they, even if they lose out and they finish 10-6-1, well, I guess 9-4-2, I guess you would need the Packers would have to win both of their final two games in order to finish, you know, 11-4-2 to get the 11th win. So very, like, basically the Bears with a tie here put themselves in a position where they just have to win one of their remaining two games and they'll be in the playoffs, or they'll, you know, have the division here. So definitely not a discussion. You go for it. You kick the extra point here and you go into overtime. So that's where we are right now, into overtime between the Bears and the Packers. Again, apologies if you're listening to this episode on replay where the game is already over. You're in your car, whatever time of the night it is. What's the weather like in the future? You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. LOL. But let's talk about now what we have moving forward, okay, as we get ready for Week 16 Sunday here in the NFL. Once this game is concluded, we'll touch on the ramifications of this game. But 16-16 is your score right now. Your live total is at 37.5. Again, we're at 32 right now. And it feels like on Thursday, it was all about playing the over, because going into overtime, I felt both those offenses between the Rams and the Seahawks were absolutely going to at least each get a field goal, or at least each get a field goal attempt. But I don't know if I feel that way about both of these offenses right now. I do think the Bears can score, but 37.5, if both of them get field goals, then hey, you're going to hit this over, right? Because you're going to get to 38. If a team scores a touchdown, you're going to get to this. So maybe it is the over, because I do think that. But again, if the Packers get stopped here, the Bears just need a field goal to win. So we'll continue to monitor that. Packers do have the football first to start overtime. Meanwhile, James Madison has the football at midfield as they are trying to backdoor what would be an epic backdoor cover here against Oregon. Down 51-26. They are down 25 points. They closed as 20.5-point dogs. Let's get back into the NFL here for week number 16 Sunday. Let's talk about the weather situations. At this time of the year, weather is always going to be a big factor. And looking around the league, we don't really have a lot of weather impact. And we always say it's not the precipitation. It is the wind that affects the totals more than anything. But we also have cold weather situations and teams that I like fading that go out of warm weather into cold weather. I also like, you know, the going from cold weather to warm weather. And I just like anytime there's a shift in the dynamic here of your body temperature, your mindset, all that stuff, it changes like everything. I'm sorry, James Madison just had a long run down to the goal line as they are likely going to backdoor cover this against Oregon. My goodness, what a turn of events that we have seen here. Meanwhile, the Packers get a play deep into downfield into Chicago territory. Okay, so here's the weather updates right now from around the NFL Week 16 Sunday. We have cold weather in Cleveland with slight chance of snow. The more important thing here, we could be at 15 mile per hour sustained winds. So how does that affect the passing game? It probably should be more of a running game here featuring James Cook and Quinshon Judkins. Plus, let's think about this for a moment. Do the Bills want to drop back and pass a bunch of times and have Myles Garrett have the chance at sacking Josh Allen to get the over 1.5 sacks that the 1.5 sacks that he needs to get the record? Or do they want to run the football and stay away from Myles Garrett here in this spot? Something to think about here. We could get some rain in Tennessee between the Titans and the Chiefs, but not a lot of wind. So obviously the wind is more important than the rain there. We could also get some wind here at MetLife Stadium between the Giants and the Vikings. It looks like about 10 to 15 mile per hour winds. But again, it's not like the old MetLife Stadium where the winds would swirl inside. It's a little bit different with the new MetLife Stadium. Other possible wind situations? None, really. I mean, that's about it. We're going to have, it's just going to be cold in Baltimore, 29 degrees. But, you know, you got two cold weather teams playing each other, so that's not going to affect anything. You have a bunch of games indoors that doesn't affect anything. Now, this is actually something that is good news for Jacksonville. The weather in Denver for tomorrow's game, the Denver weather for tomorrow's game, and this kickoff is afternoon, right? Wait till you hear this. It is going to be 60 degrees and sunny at kickoff of this game. 60 degrees. And then when the sun goes down, it'll be 55, 52. It'll be a low of 50. That is honestly the best case weather scenario that you can get for a team coming from Florida to go to Denver late in December and to have it be an unusually warm day in Denver. It is going to be beautiful in Denver here for kickoff. Absolutely zero concerns about the weather here and the impact for the Jaguars going to Denver. Wow, how about that? All right, let's talk more about the key matchup in the AFC playoff picture between the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots. Coming up next, Bo Smolka covering the Ravens for PressBox will join me here on the program. We'll get his thoughts on this Ravens team. What has been going on? I mean, Lamar Jackson every single week misses a practice, and it hasn't really affected the lines ever because he plays on Sunday, and he hasn't really played well. Last week did look a little bit better. So we'll talk to Bo about that coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wow, wow, and wow. The Chicago Bears just won in overtime on a walk-off touchdown. Caleb Williams connecting 46 yards to DJ Moore for the walk-off touchdown. This occurring after the Packers had the first possession and fumbled the ball away. And so the Bears win and the Bears cover against the Packers. And the Bears were the number one most selected team in this week's Circa Millions contest. My goodness, what a win and cover for the Bears. They are now in firm control of the NFC North at 11-4. On the season. The Packers, meanwhile, fall to 9-5-1. Unbelievable. Unbelievable turn of events. Let's continue the NFL conversation as we look ahead to a key matchup in the AFC coming up here on Week 16 Sunday. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is Bo Smolka covering the Ravens for PressBox as he joins us here on Cashing Out on VSiN. Bo, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes here, and let's talk about what has been going on for the Ravens over the past month or so, and that is Lamar Jackson getting his rest day in the middle of the week as he misses practice. But anything this week that has changed as opposed to what we've seen from Lamar in previous weeks, stepping away from practice for a day?
I mean, no, it's it felt like a month ago this was going to be the rhythm of the season, and it's strange because it's not often that you have the starting quarterback take a day off of practice. John Harbaugh's been saying for a couple of weeks, well, we're going to, you know, he'll practice when he needs to be out there and so forth. And it's been a weird situation. I mean, he did have the games where he missed earlier in the season. Then he was on the injury report with an ankle, a toe, a knee. And then one week it was an illness, and one day week it was a rest day. And it feels like there's been just a kind of a lack of rhythm with him all year. And this whole season's been strange for this team, right? They were a Super Bowl favorite in August, and then they got out of the gate 1-5. He's hurt, and they've scrambled to get themselves back to relevant. And then it looked like they were in good shape. They were kind of got their footing again, and then they lost two straight division games to the Steelers, and then they got bumped by Cincinnati on Thanksgiving night, and then they're back in survival mode, and this is where they are now. And they own it. Kyle Hamilton told us last week, you know, we never thought we'd be here, but we have to own our record. And their feeling is we just need to go 1-0 each week. It's a cliche, but they feel like that's it. If they do that, they win the division. And that's what they say. But it's been a very uneven and inconsistent season throughout.
For sure. And last week against Cincinnati, it's hard to take a lot away from that game because the Ravens didn't have to do much to win that football game. You know, it was obviously, you know, Lamar threw an interception and you're looking at it and saying, oh, what's going on with this offense? He only threw 150 yards. The tight ends, where were they when you thought that they would dominate here against the Cincinnati poor defense? But the game was never in jeopardy. So it's hard to take a lot away from that game. But looking at the Ravens offense over the past couple of weeks, what do you think has to change here against this New England defense?
Yeah, the Bengals game, first of all, they just didn't have a lot of plays. I mean, the Bengals had like an 18-play drive and got down the field and didn't score. So the Ravens, and then later the Ravens got the defensive touchdown. So the Bengals were on the field for like 30 straight plays on offense. The Ravens just didn't run a whole lot of offensive plays in that game. And frankly, the Bengals looked like they had kind of quit. So you're right that they didn't have to do much in that game. The interception was one that probably should have been caught. And Lamar Jackson did make a perfect touchdown pass throw to Zay Flowers in that game. What has to happen with this team is the same thing that has to happen the rest of the year. They frankly have not been consistently running the ball, especially between the tackles, as well as they can and need to. The offensive line's been a question all year. I think that the play in the offensive line has affected Lamar Jackson's throwing. He needs to be a better thrower. He's had some games where he just hasn't thrown the ball particularly well. Completion percentage of under 60%. I believe it was 4 or 5 games in a row, which had never happened in his career. And part of that is I think the mechanics were a little bit off. And part of it is he felt he was under duress and not getting time to get set and make good throws. So protection is one. Good run blocking is one, so they can get Derrick Henry going. Too many times Derrick Henry this year is getting hit and it's 2nd and 9 or 2nd and 10, and he's getting hit in the backfield more than we've seen in previous years. I think that's especially happening to try to run between the tackles. But that's it. They need better protection, and they need to be able to run the ball and establish their offense and get themselves, like they like to say, ahead of the chains into 2nd and manageable, 3rd and short, and sustained drives. When they don't do that, they get into trouble.
Well, if they can just get in the red zone, I think they'll have some success here. The Patriots have the worst red zone defense in the NFL this season. So if the Ravens find themselves in the red zone, I don't think they'll be settling for field goals. So that could be a key. Obviously, we talk about the game being won in between the 20s. Well, I think they just got to get past the New England 20, and I think they'll have success here. The market certainly believes so. Ravens listed as a 3-point favorite and haven't really seen much opposition here. And if we're looking at like market ratings, Bo, would you agree that based off what you've seen so far throughout the point of the season, throw the records out, are the Ravens and Patriots closer to each other than what their record says they are?
Well, I was honestly surprised to see the Ravens as the favorite. But, you know, there's a few things going on here. The Patriots have to come here on a Sunday night. Lamar Jackson in the last 4 weeks of the season as a starter in his career is 16-0, which is really quite something. And, you know, Drake May comes in here into a big, big spot, coming off a loss and having to come into Baltimore, a tough place to play on a Sunday night against a desperate Baltimore team. John Harbaugh's teams, I believe, have tended to play very well when they got their backs to the wall. And so are the two teams even? I know both a lot of people say, well, neither team has many wins against teams with winning records and so forth. I've seen enough of this Ravens team to just, they've just been so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. It's been so disappointing for them. I have to think I haven't seen much of the Patriots. I'll say that. I haven't seen as much of their team, but I have not been impressed with what I've seen from the Baltimore team week to week over the course of the season. So are they closer in terms of records? I don't know. But the Ravens are at home and they're playing for their lives, and Lamar Jackson's extremely good in the last month of the season. So those things all play in the Ravens' favor.
Yeah.
But I was surprised. I was surprised when it opened and the Ravens were favored, and they've stayed that way.
Bo Smolka covering the Ravens for Press Box, which joins me, Scott Seidenberg, here on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've seen the Patriots run the football a lot better lately. You know, Travion Henderson has kind of emerged. How much of a focal point has that been for the Ravens this week in practice to stop the run?
Well, it's going to have to be. It's something it's going to be extremely important. And two things there. One, they lost one of their inside linebackers, Teddy Buchanan, a rookie who had been kind of the starting other inside linebacker next to Roquan Smith. Tore his ACL in a non-contact play last week, so he's out. The other thing that came up on Friday at practice was Kyle Hamilton suffered some sort of an ankle injury. He showed up on the injury report, having not been there all week with an ankle injury, and now he's suddenly questionable. If he's not able to go or if he's not 100%, that would be a major factor for this team, because the way they play him now, we see him out of practice. He works sometimes with the linebackers. He works sometimes with the safety, plays near the line of scrimmage. He's one of their best fundamental tacklers. So if he's limited or not able to go, that would be a problem for the Ravens. To me, I've seen enough of the way the Patriots like to run the ball, and they can bounce it outside. These Ravens outside linebackers at times tend to get sucked inside, and that could be a problem if they get sucked inside and those lanes open to the outside, the Patriots can cause some problems. So I think that has to be an emphasis of the Ravens, to keep your edge contained at the outside linebackers and keep that run game funneling back inside. I think that has to be an emphasis for them. I will say in that Bengals game, one thing that's encouraging from this Ravens game coming out, you mentioned the Bengals game, not much you can take from it. But the Ravens pass rush in that Bengals game was probably as good as it's been all year. And so I think, you know, between Draymond Jones and Tavis Robinson coming back off his injury, they both were really impact players. And the pass rush has been a question for this team all year. So that was maybe the most encouraging thing coming out of that Bengals game. So the pass rush was big, but I think in terms of the running game, I think they need to contain the edges, and it's going to be very interesting to see. We'll probably see Kyle Hamilton doing a warm-up with the trainers before the game to see if he can go. But he's definitely one to watch in the lead-up to the inactives coming out 90 minutes before the game.
Absolutely. Bo, appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll continue to follow along.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
There is great stuff there from Bo Smolka covering the Ravens for Press Box. We'll update you on some of the props in that game, and then also we'll talk about all the props, of course, for Week 16 Sunday in the NFL. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSiN Live as we preview Week 16 Sunday in the NFL. Coming up in 15 minutes from now, we will be joined by our professor, Aaron Moore, as we'll get his favorite prop bets here for week 16 of the NFL season. Two games are already final from on Saturday. It was the Philadelphia Eagles with a 29-18 win and cover over the Commanders, and the Bears in overtime, an improbable win and cover, 22-16 over the Packers. Jordan Love exiting that game late in the first half with a concussion. Malik Willis took over. The Packers had a 16-6 lead at the two-minute warning. The Bears kicked a field goal to make it 16-9. The Bears recovered the onside kick, score a touchdown, kick the extra point to tie it. The game goes to overtime. The Packers get the first possession and fumble the football away. Bears recover, and Caleb Williams throws a 47-yard touchdown pass to DJ Moore for the win, 22-16. Just an improbable win there for the Chicago Bears, who are now 11-4 on the season. And looking at the standings here in the NFC playoff picture, the division is now, they're in control of it. With the 11th win, they are in control of the NFC North. If the Lions win out, and that includes a win over the Chicago Bears, the best Detroit's going to finish with is an 11-6 record with that head-to-head tiebreaker then over the Chicago Bears. But the Bears have put themselves in a position at 11-4 where any win, one win, 12 wins clinches the division. 12 wins clinches the division. Packers now 9-5-1. Best record they can finish with is 11-5-1. Again, one win for the Bears over the next 2 weeks where they face the 49ers and the Lions, one win, and they are your NFC North champions. Overall in the NFC, your number one seed right now is the Seahawks at 12-3. The Bears are the two seed at 11-4 right now. Eagles are your three seed at 10-5. And then Tampa or Carolina, whoever winds up winning the South, is going to be your four seed. Your five seed right now is the Rams. They've already clinched a playoff spot, but they're 11-4. They are the five seed. Your sixth seed is the San Francisco 49ers. They are 10-4. And they play on Monday night against Philip Rivers and the Colts. The Packers right now are your 7 seed at 9-5-1. Lions are the 8 seed at 8-6. Remaining two games for the Packers, home against the Ravens and at the Vikings. Remaining two games for the Detroit Lions, or three games for the Lions, 7-point favorites at home here against the Steelers, then at the Vikings and at the Bears to end the year. So, that is going to be the interesting way that this NFC playoff picture shapes up at the end of the season. Let's take a look specifically at these games here for week 16 Sunday, where we currently are in the market and what moves could be coming here. We'll start with the game that could feature some weather implications, and that is Buffalo at Cleveland. Right now, the line is Buffalo minus 10.5 with a total of 41.5. And if we're looking at the Bills and Browns, we could see heavy winds in this game. Some snow, possibly, but it's more about the wind. Both of these teams should want to run the football. Both of these teams should want to run the football. Looking at my trench report, by the way, and we'll get to these results later on in the show. This is an even matchup between both of these teams, but both of these teams should want to run the football, not just because they can have success against the opposition. More so, the Browns can have success against the Bills. The Bills have been one of the worst EPA per rush defenses in the NFL, but the Bills should want to run against the Browns because the Browns over the past couple of weeks, and I don't know if it's just about Myles Garrett getting the sack record, but they have seemed to like overload their defense to try and get Garrett to have pressure on the quarterback, and they have been susceptible to the run. They still grade out incredibly well, like overall on the season in terms of their run defense. Although as I'm doing the trench report each and every week and I'm kind of tracking how teams are doing, they have actually declined in their grades from last week to this week. In this game, I'd be looking at rushing props, to be honest with you. I'd look at Quinshon Judkins. I'd look at James Cook. And especially for Judkins, the other guy that was in that Cleveland backfield that was kind of stealing some carries from him is Dylan Sampson. He's not playing in this game. So I could see a scenario in which there's just a ton of rushing attempts for Quinshon Judkins. His prop is at 18 and a half. I can see him getting 20 carries in this game. Because of the wind, because of possible snow, just because of the way that they're going to have to attack the Bills. And maybe it's not the attempts that we want to do. Maybe it's the rushing yards. He's at 64 and a half rushing yards for his prop line. I think he can go over it here against this Buffalo Bills rush defense. Now, one of the things that I'll say about the props, okay, and we're going to talk more about the props coming up with Aaron Moore in a couple of minutes here, our professor, frequent contributor here on VSiN. You're starting to see all of the, you know, the content providers out there that are going to start to talk about contract incentives at this point of the season, right? And yeah, like it used to be just the final week of the season, then it became the final 2 weeks of the season. Now we're at the point where people are putting this stuff out in the final 3 weeks of the season. And maybe this week or you know, next couple of weeks could be a way to take advantage, although it's so difficult, right? If a guy needs five catches to go over his, you know, to get a milestone, a contract milestone, well, he's got three games to do it. So what's the benefit of betting his over receptions in this game as opposed to the next game or the game after that? Where there could be actually some incentive is all this information's public, right? A couple of years ago, this used to be a very profitable thing to do, betting the NFL. It was very profitable betting these contract incentives in the final week of the season. Now with the information becoming so public and every content provider out there is all over the internet giving you all this information, the sports books have adjusted significantly and they are now taxing you on these player props. So when wide receiver A goes into week 18 and everyone all across the internet is saying, hey, did you know that this wide receiver needs six catches to get his bonus? Where in the past, their prop used to be like, oh, 4.5 or whatever, like a normal day. That line is now listed at 6.5. Like, it's crazy. They're actually taxing you, the sports books are. I mean, what was it? Last year, it was like Mike Evans needed to get to that 1,000-yard mark, which he wound up doing. So if you played the Mike Evans prop, like he went over, right? That was the whole thing, like all the consecutive seasons of the 1,000 yards. But in that game last year, that last game of the season, where, by the way, it was like on the final drive where they put him in the game and Baker like threw it to him to get the milestone there. In that final game, I remember this because this is something I talked about and I warned people how the incentive was going to be like, you know, he needed a certain amount of yards. They taxed you significantly on it. Like Mike Evans needed to get, let's say, 70 yards. His line was like 72.5. Like they literally taxed you on the yardage prop to get to that moment. And I remember it was like on the final possession, he had like a 9-yard reception that put him over. Because Baker was force feeding him there at the end of the game, I think, or whatever it was. But yeah, they're taxing you on this stuff, guys. So you got to be careful and don't just, you know, blindly bet these things, because you also have to acknowledge that sometimes, yes, the contract incentives are big. A lot of the times, though, the teams, like sometimes with their agents and stuff, they wind up getting paid out anyway, even if they come up short or don't get it. But also, you just might have value in betting the unders when these lines are taxed too much, when you have a line that normally should be lined at like 5.5 receptions, and all of a sudden it's 7.5 in that one game, because all of a sudden it's public information that this player needs to hit his prop bet. Be careful, okay? Well, speaking of props, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK, which means you'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections, all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on the Sports Betting Network.